the By George Podcast with your hosts, Chris and Larry.
No good! By George, the dream is alive!
Wow, that was one hell of an intro. What did you think of it, Brian?
I gotta be honest, man, it kind of scared me.
Why?
Who was talking in the beginning? Was it Bass God?
It was the God.
By George's God?
Jesus.
Oh, okay. Jesus. All right. Schedule for today. We're going to talk about our last loss to UMass and its implications.
Big implications. Huge implications for Brooklyn.
Yep. And By George is about to take Brooklyn, so we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Right. No sleep till Brooklyn.
And we're going to talk about our favorite VCU memories.
Some good, some bad, mostly bad.
And Chris Jones, when is the last time we beat VCU?
I'll tell you later. Isn't that the bit?
In the second segment?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's right here. Yeah. You're reading
okay.
it.
Okay. Excuse me, Jones. All right. So, and then we're going to talk about VCU.
Right. We already discussed that. But what about your candid interview with Jair Greyer?
By George's first face-to-face interview with a player coming up in podcast number 5.
Yes. So let's start out with that loss. I know we don't really want to talk about it. But it A, had huge implications, and then B, showed me something about the team that, I don't know, it favors or bodes well for the future of the program. So A, the implications aren't great. So we took a loss. It was a bad loss against UMass, who were actually fighting for to get out of that play-in game.
Do we have a chance to win?
Win what?
The game. Do we have a chance at any point in the game?
Yes. So we fell down early. It was... a poor shooting afternoon, to say the least. We shot 0 of 10 in the first half from 3, ultimately 1 of 18 from 3 in the game, which comes out to be about 5.6%. Brian, you know anything about 5.6? Anyways. So poor shooting all around. No one really took the game over. We had turnovers. It was really, though, a winnable game. UMass was playing pretty well at times, but they also went through huge droughts. And so ultimately we lost based off like a few possessions late in the game. But
something that jumps out at me when I look at the box score is that we had 42 points in the second half. That's got to be one of our highest half point totals of the season yet.
Right.
So it shows that we were hungry and fought back into it. I unfortunately didn't get to watch it. I was watching the West Potomac Wolverines win the district championship, and I helped coach them, a high school basketball team. Okay, Jonesy, I'm just letting our fans know.
No, I'm doing a legit clap. Okay. I'm the only one in here. What do you want, a round of applause?
Maybe just an HJ.
That's weird.
So I didn't get a chance to watch the game, and so I'm just getting text updates from Chris and following like the nubs, like, you know, Alan and Giant Killer and the rest of the people that we associate with. I was looking for them for some game information because.
Thanks for that overview of how you watched or not watched the game. But anyways, ultimately the game, we were down early. We came back. It showed some fight. I don't know. Maybe that'll show us something later on down the road. But again,
can we talk about something good?
What do you mean?
Can we talk about something exciting positive that we have coming up soon instead of just talking about losses after losses? What do we got coming up soon, Jones?
What do you mean? Like our trip to Brooklyn?
Yeah, like...
Yeah. Well, should I break the news to...
Well, I think you broke it last podcast, but let's re-break it.
All right, well, let's re-break it. So as you may know, me and Brian are going to cover the A-10 tournament in Brooklyn.
Wait. Even if Mason loses in the play-in game, So listen to that. No matter what, you can get your A-10 news from By George.
Right. So if you want to follow a VCU game, a GW game, we're going to be watching all the games in Brooklyn this March. So stay tuned, and we're actually going to do some live broadcasting there, or at least attempt to. Or
we're going
to
do some live periscoping, and we're also going to do some pre and post game and midday podcasts. We're going to hit up, you know, maybe a Starbucks, sit down.
Starbucks. With all the cool places to go in New York City, we're going to go to a Starbucks.
Okay, well, we'll get some whiskey. You want to get some whiskey and do a podcast at a bar?
I do.
Okay, really so do. Maybe we'll be bringing you podcasts from all over New York, Brooklyn especially. So I'm excited for it. We've got passes to sit media row. So
yeah, get ready. Watch us on NBCSN.
From nothing to something.
Right.
By
real
George,
quick.
It's just straight
real quick.
Popping off.
Right.
Okay. So stay tuned for the rest of our show.
It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be a blast.
Wednesday, come on down to Eagle Bank Arena, where VCU will be playing George Mason. And they'll be giving away free hats to the first 3,000 people who enter the dome. And after the game, you'll get to see Gravedigger, followed by a eulogy tribute to Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah, I'm back from the dead, folks. Come down to Eagle Bank Arena. Ooh, yeah.
All right, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Beautiful.
Was my voice good?
I just said it was beautiful.
God, I love that Mace song.
Mace?
Yeah, you know, the guy who used to rap with Puff Daddy?
That's from Welcome Back, Cotter.
Well, I'm a rap fan.
Okay, well, I'm a Mr. Cotter fan.
Okay, my apologies. Yeah. Can you talk about your favorite VCU memory, please?
Okay, VCU. Those three letters, they mean so much to us.
Well, your sister went there, right?
She did, but I meant like big picture. They're big time rival.
Hey, Ash.
We hate them. Anyways, my favorite memory personally actually came a few years ago. I believe it was 4 years ago on Valentine's Day. I was at a grad school class on a Tuesday night, and I know we had a break, and I was kind of itching to see the VCU game. Paul Hewitt, you still had a little bit of hope there. So I actually, the only time I cut class in grad school, I ditched.
It's a great story.
Got on my bike, head to the Patriot Center at the time. And so I came in around the second half. I actually got some pretty good seats. I snuck into and just grabbed a seat. Great crowd, actually, for Valentine's Day night. It was an amazing game. We scored like a ton of threes in the final like 10 seconds of the game. And then obviously, you know, Ryan Pearson has the inbounds pass to Sherrod Wright, and then he hits the buzzer beater, you know, for the game winner. Kids wanted to rush the court. Everybody was just exploding in the crowd. And what made it so funny was that the VCU fans were already doing their chant, the na 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 na, hey, goodbye. Like they were singing their... Da 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 V da 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 C A, and oh my god, that got my blood boiling. So when we finally hit that three to win it, just to see all their miserable faces,
just shut them
drive
up.
All the way back to Richmond. That was a great moment.
I actually unfortunately had to miss that game, so that's not my favorite moment.
Okay, well, what's your favorite moment?
My favorite moment is back in 2011, the wow. Larranaga days,
yeah.
when I started to become a fan.
His final days.
Yeah, his final days, the year that we beat Villanova in the tournament. It was early on in my wife and I's relationship, and she actually said yes to going down to Richmond to watch the VCU game, and she didn't. And she went to Mason, and she has terrible school spirit. But when she met me, I kind of improved that. So yeah. We got to the game. We went to a tailgate. It was at a bar. It was nubby.
Cool.
Had some beers. Talked to some old people. Got inside. Sat in the awesome Mason student section where we were just cheering so much.
And this
louder
is at the Siegel Center.
At the Siegel Center,
which is nice. Yeah.
VCU fans, they wanted to fight us because we were cheering so hard. Vertrell Vons went nuts and hit like five corner threes. Everyone was bawling. Mo had a monster dunk.
Mason handed them their biggest home loss in like 20 years. I think I have the newspaper clipping actually.
Yeah. Different people texted us pictures of the newspaper. That's other people that weren't even Mason fans were psyched about this
right.
game.
It was a big game. It actually was one of the defining games. It was within that 16 game stretch where we had won I think what do we win about 13
yeah,
15
it was,
games
it was like
straight.
16 games in a row.
Yeah, to the point where Ryan Pearson is on like ESPN's First Take. We have like Larranaga.
Chris, is this your story or
oh, sorry,
is it my story?
But it was a defining moment in that season because VCU was actually really good. We blew them out at home. It ultimately led to our seeding in the tournament.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And it was awesome. And I don't really have anything else left of the story. All I know is that this one nubby white guy was like staring at me and threatening me and flicking me off and telling me to meet him outside.
Classic VCU.
I was
classic.
I'm gonna VCU fight fan. You after my team just stomped all over you.
Right. But again, though, your game back in 2011, mine was 4 years ago, which I guess was like around the next year. We haven't won since, so right. We can't actually say much back to them
at this point.
I mean,
their gear is tight, their players are tight, their practice facility is tight.
Their players are tight. The coach.
I mean, at one point we were on about an even playing field.
Yeah, they'd win a game. You know, usually in the CAA tournament, we'd win a game. Usually,
we were both getting into the end of March Madness, playing some meaningful games.
Right, we were the cream of the CAA. You know,
and they went one way, and we went
the other.
We went the other.
It's how you handle.
Mason's better now?
It's how you handle the Final Four, and so they handled it better. They retained their coach. They kept that momentum. They made the tournament the next year. We didn't. So ultimately, that led to our demise.
And we haven't made it since.
And you have to retain Coach L. Thus, you retain Hancock,
who's a god at Louisville.
And we would have been a perennial top 25 team that year if we would have retained that with Pearson and Mike Moe. And, you know, it was just...
And ever since then, it's just been...
Downhill. I mean, outside of a CIT tournament final against, you know...
In the rack.
Right.
So, we haven't really won since then. It's been tough. We haven't even really been that close.
No, they've all been blowouts. It's not even like
one where they were blowing us out by like 30, and then we came back. Wasn't that after?
Yeah, that was. I recorded that game. We were down like 34-5 or something.
Was that in the CAA tournament?
No, but no, it was down at Richmond, and it was. Oh, but we actually came back.
Right,
Acorn actually had a chance to like tie it or something.
Yeah. And so we fight pretty hard in these games, and I think it is a rivalry. And if you stay tuned for our next segment, you'll hear Jair Grayer talk about how it is a rivalry.
Here's the one thing though, how I can't compare it. It's how like we were comparing JMU as a rival like a few years ago when we beat them like 18 straight times.
Right.
It's just it wasn't even a rivalry to us anymore, and that's what I think is becoming. The case here. So,
but we need your support. The team feeds off our energy in Eagle Bank Arena, so we're not discouraging you from coming. Please come, root your ass off, cheer for these freshmen.
Get a free hat to the first 3,000 people, which is everyone.
I haven't gotten anything free yet. Maybe we just shown up late.
You're the 3,001st person usually every game.
All right. Stay tuned for our third and final segment. With an interview with Jair
Gray.
Grayer.
I didn't know you were doing your thing there. Okay.
Dude, excuse me.
Yes?
I'm really trying to study, and I can't find a quiet space.
Well, maybe you should try Fenwick Library. It's actually... really quiet and really cool.
Oh my god, are there rooms for me to study by myself?
Yeah, there are study rooms with Wi-Fi. You could download like movies at 350 millibits per second.
Are there outlets?
Of course there are outlets. This is 2016, of course there are outlets.
Dude, I have no idea where Fenwick is. Would you mind joining me? Take me there?
Come with me, it's right outside the JC.
Alright.
Well, let's go.
Hey, Brian, that actually reminds me of a pretty good joke. You want to hear it?
Oh, my God, yes.
You're that excited?
I'm very All right, well, excited.
Here it goes. How do you get a VCU alum off your porch?
Dude, I got no idea.
You give him the money for the pizza.
Hi-yo! Okay, fix your eardrums now. Welcome back to the third segment of podcast number 5.
Yes, the fans have been eagerly awaiting the third segment.
Oh, of podcast 5 specifically, Jones, you get it right. Okay. Now we're going to feature a little interview that we have done with Jair Grayer. It's our first live in-person interview. Originally, we already had a couple interviews, but they've been Twitter interviews or we've tweeted at the players and they just tweet back at us.
It's so 2016,
right?
Well, interviewing through Twitter.
And we've transcribed them and they're actually up on our website. So if you want to read an interview with Otis or
DeAndre Abram,
head to our site at bygeorge.giantkiller.co.
That's .co. We couldn't pay for the M. Anyways, right. But this is an old school interview. So you actually went face to face. It's your first real life person to person interview, right?
And I gotta say, at being a 28-year-old interviewing an 18-year-old kid, I was pretty nervous.
Right, and that was slightly evident in the video or the audio. But
so don't judge it too much. It's the first one. You know, please enjoy it.
Yeah. So here it goes.
Okay, so this is Brian Lawrence with By George Podcast number 5. I'm sitting down here with Jair Grayer. Jair, I know when we first met the Ratskiller, I'm not sure if you remember, but you told me you had a couple nicknames. Can you tell me what your nicknames are and maybe how you got those nicknames?
Jai Boogie, I got it like from my past coach, one of my trainers. He just started randomly calling me Boogie, and I just stuck with it ever since.
Okay, so is it Jai Boogie two names, or is it one or the other? Or
Boogie, Jai, I mean, some people put it together, either one, whichever one.
Okay, so Boogie, so far, how are you enjoying Fairfax, and what do you enjoy about the George Mason campus?
I love it here. I like the people. It's a real nice area. It's a nice school, good learning environment. It's a nice team, too. I just like everything here.
And so far, you know, as a fan, I've been enjoying watching you play. It's quite clear that you bring a lot of heart to the team and onto the court. What role do you kind of envision yourself here during the duration of your career?
I want to be like one of the leaders on the team, standing out just every night, bringing energy to the team and just playing hard every time I step on the court.
And so far this year you've shot the ball from the arc pretty well. Is that something that you're going to stick to, or do you have an inside game too that you're going to display?
Yeah, I think I can play inside and out. So yeah, I can do both.
Okay, cool. And what areas of your game so far that you've learned from playing your first year at D1 are you going to work on and try to improve in the off season?
Mostly I'm gonna get better with my ball handling, better defender, and. And rebounding the ball more efficient.
Okay, and I know from just doing a little bit of background research on you that both of your parents have a basketball background. Can you just tell me about, what they both accomplished in the game and kind of how they helped you grow as a kid?
Yeah, they both, helped me in basketball. But mostly that was in my ear was my father. And it was just teach me the ins and outs of the game, bringing me around different people and
can you tell me some of those different people that he brought you around, maybe who helped shape your game a little bit?
Yeah, mostly like the Flintstones that came out of Flint, Mateen, Cleese, Morris Peterson, a couple other guys. Let me see, Charlie Bell. It's just a bunch of NBA guys.
And so do you remember your dad? So how old were you when your dad was in the NBA? Were you around? How'd that work?
I didn't really get to see him play in NBA or nothing, but
you were still a kid,
still young, real young.
What teams do you root for in professional sports? I know that you're from Flint. Do you root for Flint teams or no?
Nah, I root for the Rockets.
And are you happy that you kept Dwight Howard after the trade deadline?
Yeah, I'm happy we got him. Okay. Yeah.
And what about Ty Lawson? Are you a Ty Lawson fan, or could he go?
Yeah, I'm a Ty Lawson fan. I like his game.
Because he's from here. I think he played with Team Elite and with his AAU teams, and I know he still runs some AAU teams around here. What team are you looking forward to playing either the rest of this year or maybe going into next year? Do you feel some sort of rivalry with a certain school yet?
Right now, I would say it's GW and probably VCU for the most part.
You haven't gotten a chance to play at GW, right? That game's coming up?
Yeah.
Okay, and VCU is the next game. So we get to play both those games coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, cool. And so the most difficult environment that you've gotten to play in so far outside of the Eagle Bank Arena?
Probably at VCU. It was a lot of fans there.
Right. Could you notice they all had Havoc signs and things like that? Or, you know, what did you take away from their crowd?
Their crowd, they was really into it. They, like, had this big VCU sheet holding it up, waving it. It was just a great atmosphere.
It's something that we hope that students can start to do here and buy in and be a little bit more lively at the games, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, and so this year so far, I believe that you've had a lot of stellar moments. What would you say has been your favorite moment so far this season?
Probably at the Charleston tournament. Them was probably my best games, but at the George Washington game, that was a big game for us too. It was a really
right. And you had 23 points at Oklahoma State. In the homecoming game, I believe that's the game where you hit three threes in a row to help us come back, right?
That was a GW game.
That was a GW game. And how was that feeling?
That was a good feeling. I was real hyped. Like, our team was into it. We was all just playing well. We really wanted to win that game. It was a nice game.
Right. And so just a couple quick questions. Who do you listen to before games to get you pumped up? Kind of, you know, give me about 3 to 4 artists that you're bumping right now.
I listen to Future, Young Thug.
Are you listening to Drake? I know he's about to drop I think he just dropped a new song, Summer 16.
Yeah, I listen to Lil Drake too, yeah.
And the new Future album, I've been bumping it. I don't really think it's as good as the Drake and him mixtape, but I really like that Weekend song. Is there a song that you like off that new Future album?
Off new Future? I'll probably say, let me see. What is the name of the song?
Or what Future song are you bumping before games?
I listen to Wicked. I really like that song.
Right, Wicked. Right, Wicked's bumping. So who's the funniest guy on the team?
Funniest? Jalen by far.
Yeah. I know you're a Rockets fan. Do you follow LeBron? You know, who would you take on your squad, LeBron or Curry?
They're both great players. I really like Curry, but I've been with LeBron, like, ever since I was little, so... I mean, it's a toss-up. Like, I really like both of them.
Right. Curry's just hitting shots from the half-court line like it's nothing. All right, and so a lot of people right now are discussing the throwback jerseys that you wore for the homecoming game. Everyone loves them. They love that the names are on the back. What's been your favorite jersey? The green? Is it green and white, gray, and the throwback? Out of those four, what's been your favorite jersey?
Mine was definitely the throwback. I like my name on the back.
It's fresh, right?
Yeah.
We got to talk to Coach about that. Yeah, all right, and then... Last thing on campus, you know, where are the guys hanging out on campus during your off time?
We're either in the dorm or at Ike's for the most part. We'll be hanging out. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, guys, go find him there. All right, this is By George, interview with Jai Boogie. Thanks for coming, Arthur. Well, thank you for allowing me to come interview, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yep.
All right.
Wow, Brian, that was powerful stuff.
Oh,
I felt like I was watching like an ESPN 30 and 30, the real life of Jair Greer.
Were you watching it or were you just listening to our podcast?
Well, you actually, your words were so descriptive. I was just imagining this.
You were captivated?
Yes.
My words and my voice just had you in complete captivation.
It was beautiful. I liked it.
Okay. Well, yeah. I hope you all liked it. We're going to bring you more. Hopefully our next one is with Jenkins. I'm trying to set that up as we speak.
Who, by the way, I just want to give him quick props, has put the team on his back recently. You're putting up double-doubles. You're looking like a beast. Keep it up. You've been a different player since we changed to the 2006 throwback jerseys. Like, I don't know. He's just doing a great job. So
right, keep it up. I mean, mm-hmm. Really, we just need someone to continue to crash the boards and put back easy buckets.
He's doing it the old-fashioned way.
I mean, he's big enough. He's jacked.
Right. He's just putting back... Right. Yeah, missed jumper. So, anyways.
All right, guys, show up. All right. VCU's coming to Fairfax Eagle Bank Arena.
Get size!
Step up.
VCU!
Woo!
Get their ass! Ooh, yeah, get their ass. It's me, but you ain't ready for me.
Every day has been the same old thing on my block. You either working or you're slanging cocaine on my block. You had to hustle, cause that's how we was raised on my block. And you stayed on your hop until you made you a nut on my block. To hang out was the thing back then. And even when you left out, you came back in. To my block from Holloway, Belfort to Scott. Reroll the flocks, we know the spots. drink or the blue dots. On your block, you probably bred a fat pad of Tupac, a big pun, a B.I., your homeboys from knee high. And even when it was storming outside, that nigga be by. That's me, dog, on my block, I ain't had to play the big shot. Niggas knew me back when I was stealing beer from Shamrock, and my nickname was Creepy. If Black Joe could see me, he'd be tripping. I bet he still try to tease me. My block, where everything is everything for Jeezy. My block, we probably done it all, homie, believe me. My block, we made the impossible look easy for Jeezy. I'll never leave my block, my niggas need me. My block, we ducking nigga haters and the cops. Fuck a I rock, we racing ballers, chrome dot. On my block, it ain't no different than the next block. You get drunk and pass out, and they pack you to the hot. And when you wake up on the got, you're going right back at it. On my block, when you're that fucked up, they laugh at it. On my block, it's just another day in the heart of the south side of Houston, Texas, making your mark. On my block, we're queuing all the time, playing dominoes. Keep it swishing, sweet die till my mama goes back inside. Then we can fly, pass it around a few times to get high. On my block, is everything for Jeezy. My block, we probably done it all, homie, believe me. My block, we made the impossible look easy. My block, I'll never leave my block, my niggas need me. My block, where everything is everything for Jeezy. My block, we probably done it all, homie, believe me. My block, we made the impossible look easy. My block, I'll never leave my block, my niggas need me. My block, everybody business ain't your business. What's going on in this house? Staying here comprehending. My block, you had to have that understanding. Cause if you told Miss Maddie, she went and told Gladys. And when Punchin' Mama got it, it was all on the wire. And when the word got back, they set your ass on fire. On my block, we got some non-fed shell shock. We never quite got right, now they in hell rocks. On my block, it's like the world don't exist. We stay confined to this small little section we're living in. On my block, I wouldn't trade it for the world, cause I